Hannah Gray has been serving the community as a local government councillor for several years. She was nominated to be the 2020-2021 Mayor of the London Borough of Bromley at the height of the COVID pandemic in March 2020. Hannah has for many years been known as one of South London's most prolific small and medium enterprise networkers. Before becoming mayor, Hannah was Bromley's business champion, promoting and helping entrepreneurs achieve their business ambitions. She's now dedicated to helping promote SMEs, charities, and voluntary organizations to learn from their experiences for the benefit of all.
So today I'm here at Telecoms World. I'm talking to Keith Bird, and you're head of UK sales here at Telecoms World. It's really nice to meet you, Keith.
Really nice to meet you, Hannah. Pleased to be with you.
So tell
me. In person as well.
I know.
In person. How exciting is that?
And we can get away with it.
Not on Zoom.
It's great. So tell me, Keith. I know Telecoms World of old. I've known them for a while. But where do you come from? Where's your background? How have you got to come and work with these guys? And how long have you been here?
Yeah, it's a good question, really, Hannah. So I've been involved 15 years now, I suppose, something like that. And I sort of fell into it by accident, if I'm going to be honest. My background was in a printing environment. I had a sort of working class upbringing, went to a comprehensive, didn't go to uni. And then I got a job in a sort of printing background, did very well, ended up with a sort of partner in my own business, and then had children, and I'm so busy with it that I just can't continue. So then we had a sort of local gym for a little while that my wife and I owned.
Oh, really?
And one of the Neil's brother-in-law, the MD here, who's one of the shareholders, was a friend of mine, and the business was going well, and they needed a bit of help on the sales side, and just asked me to get involved on a casual basis initially, and then it just has grown from there as the business has done fantastically well. You know, I've just stayed with it. I've held on for dear life, really, and I'm growing with it.
Well, you know, that's great, because Neil and Sam have just been talking to me about you, and they said that is one of your fantastic points, is that you don't talk techie speak, and that'll probably be because you didn't originally come from the telecoms world or the voice and data world. So when you go in to talk to a customer, you talk to them in a language that they understand.
I think it's a brilliant point. I think Neil, really, in my first few years, he would have banged his head on the table about me not being a techie. But I think I still sit in meetings now with sort of people that are making big business decisions with other sort of telcos or other big companies, and people talk, you know, in riddles, really. And I think there's nothing wrong with saying, sorry, I don't understand that. Can you explain? Can you explain, please? And I always ask the question, can you explain and make it a bit clearer until we get to the point? And often people don't know what they're trying to explain. So for my customers, an old mentor of mine used to say, KISS, keep it simple, stupid, really. Mm. And that's what I like to make it very easy for people to make decisions. It's my job to hold their hand and let them understand what they're, you know, what they're buying and what they're getting, really, to be honest. So that's my job. Yes,
that is so good. Because my phone and my son's phone are actually with Telecoms World. Right. And I've always been absolutely delighted. But I'm a very, very small fish in a very, very big pond, because I know that you've got some fabulous clients. But before we frighten everybody away to say, oh, you only work with the big boys, you work with a one man in a van, and you give him a phone number and a whole new way of working, so he is credible rather than a mobile phone.
Yeah.
Right the way through to, I believe you've got some fantastic NHS contracts recently as well.
Yeah, well, we're really lucky, really. I mean, I'm saying we're lucky, in some respects you make your own luck, of course, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you talk about the man with the van. You know, we've got, I think, now 19,000 odd customers. 15,000 of those would still be small sole traders, SMEs, really. And when they formed the business, you know, a few years before I came on board, the idea was that that market was ignored. And it still is to some extent, you know. And what happens, and as you know, you've been involved with lots of this, you know, that one man with his bank can grow. And if they grow and you give them a good service, they stay with you, and that goes. If they don't, they recommend you to their friends. If you're spending as much time helping them as you might help someone else, you know, they recommend you to friends. So it's not rocket science. You just help them you help them deliver their business, make more money, make their own customers happy, then they come back and they recommend you. And so it's not rocket science, it's not secret sauce, it's just treating people how you want to be treated, delivering a good service, and then they
come
back.
Always been delighted with Telecoms World. We've just been through this awful pandemic. Obviously, we all are well aware of that. But I've discovered that, I mean, I know people have had horrific times, and we can't underestimate how horrific some people have felt. But there has been a lot of positivity that's come out of it, and new businesses have sprung out of nowhere.
Yeah.
So we've got people doing things they've always wanted to do because technology's pushed it, and they're able to work from home, still be a very viable business without having to rent huge office space.
Yeah.
And you guys can help with setting up startups, can't you?
So you can get
their phone number and their data, connectivity and broadband. Now, how would that happen? Would someone come to you and say, oh, I've got a new business, I'm selling on Etsy or something like that, and you would advise what kind of package they'd get?
Yeah, I think so. And so my first question to anyone who comes and asks me, can I ask what you do? What's your business going to do? Because, you know, because we've got the experience with these 15,000, you know, out of these 15,000 customers, there's not one business we haven't worked with. You know, there can't be really in doing it. So it's... we've got loads of experience in advising people. So if it's let's say it's a small heating and ventilating company starting, it would be talking to them about if their customers are all going to be local. Yes, they are. Well, you don't really want to use a mobile number. Can you just use a virtual number? You know, what's your average price of a job, for example? Then do you need, you know, should your phone be answered professionally by, you know, a virtual receptionist rather than getting a horrible voicemail that puts people off? And it's just, you know, advising people with those sorts of things and talking about the budget. Of course, budget is always something to look at when you're starting a business. But if you don't start it with the right things in place, with the right processes, with the right professionalism, well, then the chances of failing are higher, of course. So it's our job to give you that sort of advice if we can.
So that they can grow if they need to.
Yeah, so they can grow, yeah. And it doesn't have to be expensive. It's just about, you know, simple for them, just having a professional numbers, you know, 10 quid a month.
Mm.
You know, people spend that on their coffee every day now, don't they? So it's just thinking about that. As you get a little bit bigger to the SME, you talk about broadband. You know, most people's broadband's not good enough. They spend 20 quid a month on their broadband and then run their phones, their accounts.
Mm.
All that sort of thing becomes really important to people. And it's just thinking about, you mentioned the NHS. The NHS talk all the time about the patient experience. So we talk about the customer experience. What would you do if your customer was ringing you up? If it was you ringing it, how would you want the call to be answered?
Mm.
When would you want the call to be answered? What sort of image would you try to portray?
Yeah, professionalism.
Yeah.
And
I don't think that matters if you're one person or 100 people in a company. You know, in some ways, it's easier when you're one person. As you get bigger, then it's harder keeping your message on track, really. When you're one, start off as you meant to go on. Start, you know.
And I don't think people realise how affordable it is. They're starting it, especially maybe the tradesperson.
Yeah.
Okay, they're starting off, they're really good at what they do, they've been doing it since they were a kid, they've now got their van, they've got a company name that they put on the side of their van, they've got their business card, and they've got their mobile phone number on it, and they've got, you know, johnnysmith@hotmail.com.
Yeah.
And all of that needs to change because they are professional at what they do, but they don't necessarily appear to be professional at what they do. So you can help them build something, and as you're saying, about £10 a month or something for a phone number.
Yeah. Well, it's even better than that. Start, you know, because most of the deals we have for our SMEs and small sole traders for the first 3 months are really low. You know, so it gives you that 3 months, you know, basic number, for example, is 99p. It gives you that 3 months to get established, start getting some work in. Because really, when you start a business, it's all at all the expense at the beginning. Mm. It's the problem, isn't it? So if you can help with that a little bit, but set up properly, you know, you're talking about, you said have your mobile on your van. Well, so what happens if you get two of you? Then what do you do about your mobile? So you've got to always think, I think, start off with how you want to continue. If you start one person, so be it, but you're still looking really professional and really good. And if you build to four or five people, fantastic.
So people, how long are they tied in for? So I've got Johnny, poor, it's always Johnny, isn't it, poor little Johnny, old Johnetta, and they've got their van and they're going to saying, right, okay, I'm going to look really professional now. I'm going to make sure I've got my design done, I've got my cards done, I've got my van done, I've got my number, I've got some data. I'm going to get my phone answered by a professional person so that we know what it sounds like. It sounds good when they answer it. So how long would they have to commit to you? So supposing they're brand new to this.
Yeah.
And you said for the first 3 months you help them out. Is there kind of a, right, we'll give you a rolling contract to start with, or do they have to sign up? That's it. It's going to cost you a year's sign up.
It's a really interesting question, I think, contracts. You know, we come across it all the time. And I think it's all about choice, isn't it? So we give people the choice. I mean, if we're going to do the introductory offer where it's less than £1 for 3 months for a lot of the services, well, then you are tied into some sort of an agreement with that. So, the longest 12 months. If people want a shorter period, we'll say, great, you can have it for a short period, but we can't then do it at £1 from day one. It has to be £10 from day one. So your choice, you know, well, what how would you like to play it? And people do the maths and then decide which way they're going to go with it, really.
Yeah, and I think that comes back to your original point, that you talk to them, you say, what is your business? What is your budget? How can we help you? Because your customer care here is fantastic. So you're not going to sign them up to something that they can't afford. Why would you want to do that? That would wreck your reputation. So, you know, you obviously want to give them what they can afford and help them succeed, because you succeed if they succeed.
Exactly that. Yeah, and I speak to our team all the time and remind them, because I'm getting so old now, and you've got two ears and one mouth, and that's the way you can communicate. You know, listen more than you speak, really. Find out what the person wants. Even to the fact, it's really important, if it's not suitable what we do, well, then advise them where it might be suitable for them. You help people, they come back time and time and time again, they remember, you know. So it's really, really important that you do that. Ask the right questions, listen to the answers, and help people along the way.
And you can also work with bigger companies. So we've covered the smaller ones now, really, haven't we? But so the medium-sized companies, so maybe 100 people in the company, you can definitely help with them, because you've got all of that cloud telephony that you can use.
Yes, yeah, cool. You've got the expression right there. Really good. Yeah, I mean, again, we've been blessed, and as you say, I should say, during this strange time, we've been fortunate that we're in a business that really people have required during this these, you know, strange pandemic times. But yeah, we are lucky enough to go from the small man to what we would call the SME, like you're saying, 100, 200, even 50 odd, where people need their hand held a little bit on phone systems, on simple talk about how things are going to work, how their data connectivity is going to work, what happens if it goes wrong. I think that's really crucial for people, thinking, you know, we're not going to pretend everything goes right all the time, but it's often, if things go wrong, what have you got in place? How do you react? How are we going to deliver this when it's doing it? So it's thinking about those sorts of things for people, that's really, really important. So yeah, I mean, we love it. And some of the greatest things I've said in my 15 years is we have got companies that have started off with those two people that now are 100.
Yeah.
You know, that is absolutely fantastic. You see all these really great success stories, and some of those are based in Bromley as well, which is really fantastic, and you see that sort of growth, and it's excellent. But again, I don't think it changes when you get to 100 members of staff. Your expertise is not telecoms and data. So you still need someone like me or one member of our staff to come along, ask the right questions. Right, it might be on a bigger level, but the same thing applies. Ask the right questions, see what you think, see what you must have now, for example, what you should have now, what you could have in the future, and just thinking about those things. But at that level, I just always start with a blank bit of paper.
Yeah.
Really, and say, let's start again, because someone's been told by someone they know in IT that this is what you need, and this is what you've got to have, what you have. So that's fine, we'll talk about that, but let's start with this blank bit of paper as well.
Yeah, about so you can what go you and
need.
Find out
yeah,
what people
come on,
really
let's
need.
Talk about that, find that.
So taking that up another level, working with the NHS.
Yeah, that's been fantastic for us.
It's been for the frontline workers, is that right?
Well, not really the frontline workers. So we've always been involved. The last sort of 7, 8, 9 years we've been working with the NHS, and what happened really is we delivered two, on the front line, we delivered two sort of COVID helplines, if you want, right, for staff that were under stress and pressure, if you can imagine working in that environment, every day. So we delivered those really quickly, within sort of 4 working days when the pandemic first sort of kicked
Fantastic.
Off, really. So Well, when it became apparent how devastating it was going to be for the NHS. So that was for frontline workers to phone specialists that were from a remote working environment. Okay, so they'd all be working at home, taking the calls. And because they were volunteering, they had to have many levels of people being able to log in on their mobiles, logging on their phone, logging through PC. And then we've also always done some stuff with what you might call the support staff for the NHS. Mm-hmm. And again, they had to deliver things to them really quickly for them going from a working office environment to a remote environment. And I'd have to say the conversations we've had with them recently is it's worked so well for them. Because you can imagine in the NHS, there's a lot of mums and you've got to be careful what you say these days. There's lots of mums where it's been a real help for them working in a home environment and having that ability to, you know, parent and dads as well, I should say.
Of course.
Really
enjoying
it. So that's been really exciting and really fulfilling to work on because, you know, one, you feel like you're contributing which you are. Two, you know, it's great, really interesting business to be involved in. And like any business, credibility is really important. So when you work with people like the NHS, that really helps when you're having conversations with other people, really other charities, big companies.
Yeah, I know you do a lot of charitable work actually at Telecoms, and I'm very grateful for the check that I've received for my charities. I didn't realise I came here today for us to have this podcast and to see some old chums and catch up, and they presented me with a fabulous check, which I had no idea, and it's wonderful. And
it's only my full time in the office, and they haven't given me a check yet. So I'm hoping for that, really.
So now, just to finish off, because believe it or not, we're getting to the end of our time. I can't believe it.
Okay.
It flies past.
All right, good.
But there's a little curveball that I ask everybody, and warn you about this one.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to have a dinner party, it's the old dinner party question. If I keep babbling for a minute, you can have a little chance to think.
Okay.
You're going to have a dinner party, not necessarily in COVID time, so you can have more than
I can actually have some people, can I?
Yeah. People around. Who would you like to invite? Who do you admire or want to talk to, maybe from that aren't with us anymore from the past, or people now, or people in the future, maybe that you think would be amazing?
Yeah.
Who would you like to have at your dinner party?
Oh, right, okay, so then you've got to cover it, haven't you? So you'd have to have Leonardo da Vinci for one, wouldn't you? I think you'd have to have him there, because what an interesting man who excelled in so many brilliant ways, really. Someone sort of living for me, I'd have Paul Weller there, really, because I know he'd be a miserable kid because he is, but hey, just to have a chat with him and things like that. I'm fascinated by some of the American great writers, Napoleon Hill and people like that, these sort of self-help guys that now that people still read about. I'd have to go. I'll go to some more boring ones in a minute. I'd have to go Gandhi. You'd have to go Kennedy, wouldn't you? You would. Now I need some more female company to even it out again, really, wouldn't you? So who would you have on? Who would you have on that? Say, well, Diana Ross would have to come in. What a fantastic singer, really.
Oh, wow, yeah.
You'd have Amy Winehouse there as well, wouldn't you?
What a party that would be.
What a party it's going to be. Really,
maybe it'd have to be a party, not a dinner party.
I think so, because there's a few musicians in there, isn't there? One artist, I suppose. I'm getting into a bit of opera recently, so Maria Callas, maybe she could come along and knock out a few.
A great favourite of mine.
knock out a few tunes. But you say it's a curveball. Well, I think finishing on something like that is really important. I think what COVID's taught us, if anything, is that what I'd like to say is that we love human interaction, don't we? You know, we've missed that so much. So I think what I'd like for business is to get some of the fun back, some of the enjoyment back. I think it had all got a little bit too serious. You know, have to sit in meetings and do straight. You can't say this. You can't maybe have a glass of wine at lunchtime with someone and talk about business. I'd like the fun to come back. I'd like every day for us to go to work and say, this is cracking, this. Because I think it could be the roaring 20s. You know, there's a lot in the press about this might be now the roaring 20s. People go, I think the next decade now could be fantastic for lots of different reasons.
I think the bounce back is so enthusiastic that it definitely could be. We have to be safe. We have to be safe and sensible. But I think we could have lots of fun. I think people are really ready for it because they've had it taken away for so long. So thank you so much, Keith, for your enthusiasm and all the information, and also, you know, encouraging smaller businesses right the way through to the bigger ones. I know that Telecoms World do a great, great job, and I've always been very pleased with the service that I've received. I'm sure others will too. so thank you.
Thank you for the compliment and thank you for your time. Yeah.
Thank you for joining me today. If you know someone or are someone who should join me, please get in touch. Meanwhile, believe in yourself, support others, and please stay safe.